Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So, I did not. Who grew up here in Naples? Not many. All right. Who grew up somewhere else? Yeah. So, as you can tell, I am not from Naples. but I absolutely love what God is doing here. And like Miss Gail said, definitely. I mean, I grew up in this church. I've been a part of this church for 8.5, going on 9 years. Anybody back in the Gulf Coast days? There's a few in here that's been here longer than me since the beginning, and it's just amazing to see what God is doing in this place, and just to see what God's going to continue to do. And I just want to say to our senior pastors, Pastor Greg, Pastor Bobby, I love you guys so much. You guys are amazing. It is an honor to be able to do this. Again, I'm the youth and young adult pastor here at Destiny. I have the great honor and privilege to be able to lead our young people and just the things of the Lord and really growing deeper. Because like Miss Gail said, it's completely different than what it was 10 years ago when I was in high school. And it's only moving in that direction. So we need to continue to pray. You know, I tell them almost every week, like, this is the first, we're the first state that prayer is back in the schools. But a lot of people don't know that. Like, a lot of people don't know that a law has been passed where prayer, God is back in our schools, but a lot of the teachers don't know that. So you can go to school prayed up and take your Bibles and open it up, and they can't say anything. They can't say anything. Or they can say something, but they have no jurisdiction. So it's amazing to see that we are in a state like Florida that's being a forerunner of that movement. And so it's just amazing. Tonight, I'm usually here on Tuesdays and Wednesday nights, so you're going to hear tonight a lot. The message this morning is called Draw Near. Draw Near. And we're going to be talking about that a lot this morning. Just drawing near to God in every situation, in every circumstance, what it means to draw near. James 4, verse 8 says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Simply put, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. I just want to pray, and we're going to get into the word. God, I thank you for the opportunity to just be able to speak your word this morning. God, I pray that you would just move through me, God, that every heart would just be open to receive from you this morning, that God, that when we dismiss out of here, God, that we are closer to you, that we can be real with where we are with you, God, and we can move forward in our relationship with you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen. So draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. You know, when you draw near to God, you'll be a true friend of God. Amen? Like, you're a true friend of God. Anybody like Facebook? Anybody on Facebook? Like, you're lying right now. You're like, I don't want to raise my hand right now. Yes, social media. So I'm going to use this analogy because what was cool is when Miss Gail asked us to stand up, whether you're in middle school, high school, young adults, there was a lot of us. Praise God. That's another thing that I love about this church so much. It's diverse and so many different ages, and it's amazing to see what God is doing through all the generations. But so tonight, or this morning, we're going to be talking about being a true friend of God and not just a Facebook friend. Amen? Being a Facebook friend, you know, I know people that literally have 1,500 to 2,000 Facebook friends, right? You don't have 2,000 Facebook friends. Like, you don't have that many friends, right? You may have them on Facebook, but they're not your actual friends. And the same thing goes for Instagram or Twitter, whatever, you know, you may use social media-wise. And, you know, Justin Bieber, anybody like the Biebs? Crazy fans. Justin Bieber has 37 million Facebook friends. That's crazy. And billions of views on YouTube. But those are fans, they're not friends, right? He doesn't have 37 million. He doesn't know 37 million people, right? And my question to all of us this morning is, are we a fan of God or are we true friends of God? True friends of God. Any country music fans in the house? You can be honest. Country music. Come on. Hey, I love it all, right? I love all type of music. And side note, I tell the kids every day, whatever you listen to, understand, I think it's funny when they say the genre of worship music. Every song that's ever been created is a worship song. What is it worshiping? Right? Every song and every genre that's been created, what is it worshiping? And so, when it comes to country music, my mom used to tell me stories about her days in high school, and she went to high school with a group called the Rascal Flatts. Anybody heard of the Rascal Flatts? And but she would always, you know, as time went on, she would always be telling me stories of what happened in high school, right? And two of the three members went to the same high school as her. And there's a group out right now that I actually went to school with and played basketball against, and it's amazing. But every time I tell a story about this kid, this grown man now, but it's always in the past. It's always past stories about this individual, because that's when I actually knew them. And it's the same thing with our relationships with God. Like, are they current? You know, we continue to tell stories about what God did. Are we telling stories about what God is doing? Amen. I catch myself doing that sometimes. Like, oh man, it was an amazing move of God. We were so hungry at that time. No, I want to be hungry now. Like, I want to see God be moving in my life now, and He is. But so often we talk about, oh, what God did 5 years ago in my life, and what God did 6 months ago, and He was moving. He wants to move today. Every single day when we wake up and we open ourselves up and say, God, I want a move of Your Spirit in my life. Amen? Amen. You know, you may be in this place, and if you were honest with yourself, you could say, you might say that I was closer to God 3 months ago, or 6 months ago, or a year ago, a decade ago, whatever that is. And the amazing thing about God is, if you open yourself up to receive, it doesn't matter if you would say, I was closer to God 5 years ago. You just step into what God is doing right now, and he's gonna increase in our lives if we're open to have Him move. Amen? Amen. You know, my generation, we spend so much time on social media. A lot. Right? No one wants to say amen to that, right? We spend too much time on social media, way more time, if we were honest with ourselves, than we spend with the Lord. And the generation after me is even worse. Okay, so we lined up a bunch of the leaders. We did this in the youth ministry. And on your iPhone, Apple came out with this new thing that's pretty cool that I love, because it's a good conviction in my life. And there's people in the service right now texting, and I'm in that group chat. So I love you guys, but all right, praise God. called out. There's a thing called screen time, all right? Screen time, and it tells you how much time that you're spending on your phone every day and every week. So the last 7 days, it tells me I spent 4 hours and 14 minutes per day on my phone. 4 hours and 14 minutes a day. I'm just being really honest with you guys today. We're gonna be open and honest and candid here, all right? And the reality is, there's a lot of people in this service that it's worse than that. Like, there's a lot more than that. And you might use it for your job or whatever it may be, but that actually says 23% down from last week. I was on it even more, so I was on it over 5 hours a day last week. And on here, like, it even breaks it down per app used, like your Spotify, your whatever, you know, Instagram, Facebook, all these different things. Your Bible app, it tells you how much time that you're spending on it. Hey, I got a hard copy. Praise God for that. All right. But I'm doing a study in the Bible app, so I have like 5 hours on my Bible app this week, but I have 6.5 hours on Facebook. And I see that, and I'm like, that doesn't, I don't know how I feel about that. I don't feel too good about the time that is wasted away just scrolling. And I tell the kids, like, we'll do it. Like, you'll click on Instagram, and you'll just be scrolling through. And it's like, it's all the same pictures that you just looked at 10 minutes ago. Why are you back on there looking at the exact same pictures again? Right? It even told you, it's updated. There's nothing new going on. And we just spend so this countless, and then we wonder, oh, I didn't have time to pray today. Or I didn't have time to get into my word this morning. But we find time to talk to friends and get on social media and these different things. But we're made to connect. Amen. Like we're made to connect to one another, connect to God. Amen. And so I want to show this quick video that really shows how much connection is going on in this world today and what that means and how it applies to our lives.
Ever wonder how many handshakes take place in a day? How many hugs happen? How many one-to-one face-to-face conversations go on? What about glances, kisses, laughs, and prayers, ways we connect? And you, right there, right now, how are you connected to the person next to you? The people around you, your friends, your enemies, the strange dude at the mall? How about the movies you watch, the books you read, the messages all around you? And how do you connect differently than people connected in the past? So many thoughts, ideas, blogs, texts, posts, and tweets these days. Everybody wants to connect to someone or something. And the World Wide Web of intersection and connection has changed everything. There's over 50 million tweets per day, over 60 million LinkedIn people, and 43 million people still visit MySpace per month. Everybody wants to connect. Connect with a friend, connect with family, connect to the past, connect to the future, connect to God. Connect with God. The one who created connections, voices, images, ears, eyes, smiles, kisses, glances, faces, friends, music, color, stars, electricity, light, laughter, and love, just to name a few. Connect with him? And what does that mean? Well, you connect the dots.
It's good, right? We're called to connect. I saw one of the things, MySpace is still a thing. Like 30 crazy. 30 million people are still on MySpace. I don't know. That's crazy. But we're called to connect. One of the main reasons God created Adam was for companionship, right? And to connect. And one of the main reasons God created Eve was for companionship with Adam, right? So we're called to connect. So it's not far-fetched to realize that we spend so much time connecting in different ways, but a lot of times we've missed the face-to-face, right? I'll be in a room. It'll happen right after this service. We're going to go watch football, right? And I'll be in a room full of guys, and everyone's will be just in their phones, right? And you could take a picture. Every single person is just stuck in their phones. You ever seen a picture like that where there's like 10 people together and nobody's actually talking to each other, but yet there's people texting each other inside the room? And it's like, man, we've lost that face-to-face connection. Psalm 103, verse 7 says, "He revealed his character to Moses and his deeds to the people of Israel." He revealed his character to Moses. Speaking of character, you know, if you're close to somebody, you're going to know their character, right? Married people in the house. Woo! All right, so to your wife or husband, you know, your spouse, like you're going to actually start to know their character, right? You're spending a lot of time. You can actually start to finish each other's sentences. Anybody else in the room, right? You know when to, I'm going to zip it. I'm not going to talk about that. It's not a good time to go there. Like you actually start to know each other because there's relationship, right? The same thing goes with the Lord. So Moses was a true friend of God, not just a Facebook friend. Why? Because he was a true friend, because he knew the character of God. He knew the character of God. Why? Because he drew near to God. So if we're not drawing near to God, we're not actually spending much time with the Lord. And if we're not spending much time with God, I don't know how much we're actually going to know the character of God. And if we don't know the character of God, when things arise in our lives, we might start to question things. We might start to question God. If we're not actually developing our relationship with God, that's why you hear people in passing and that will blame God for different things in their lives. Or if God's such a good God, then why did this happen? Are we actually connected to the Father? Do we know His character? Do we know His goodness? Amen. We may start to question God in those areas. You know, my mom in 2012, August of 2012, was diagnosed with stage 4 head and neck cancer. And that was 6 years ago. And in June of this year, she passed. And she's with Jesus and celebrating right now and is here with us now. But many people in this room, knew my mom. She was part of this church. She was faithfully. She would show up to the young adult ministry every single week, and she was praying for us, and she was always connected. But because of her treatments, she had to go to, she was in South Carolina and Ohio and all over the place. And there was just a lot of back and forth. And I saw God heal my mom multiple times, right? Like complete healing, no cancer in her body at all. And then 6 months later, it would pop back up somewhere else, right? And then it would just, and in last service I shared, like, it would get strenuous where, you know, I remember praying and God come, and but I always would believe. I knew, like, God's going to come through in this area. And when she was in Tampa and she had she was having treatments in Tampa, I remember Pastor Greg being out of town one weekend, and I covered for him to preach the Saturday night service, and I was up, and you went to be with her. I went to Tampa, drove back, preached the message, and then go back to Tampa, be with my mom. And it was just this thing that went back and forth for 6 years. And through all of that, if I wasn't connected to the Father, if I wasn't drawing near to God, if I wasn't learning the character of my Heavenly Father and knowing that He is good and He is for me and not against me and all things work together for His good, if I didn't know those things, I would not be standing before you today. There's no way. There's no way. And I'm clinging to those things. We have to. But the only way we do that is if we're building our relationship with the Father. It's important to go deeper with the Lord. In the mountaintop moments, in the valley moments, but it's not when everything's good. Okay, well, oh, peace. I'll be back in church in 6 months when something's going wrong. No, it's like I'm with the Lord every step of the way, and I'm not just coming to the Lord when something's going wrong or so. You know, it's I'm praising God through everything. But when you go through those valley moments and God takes you through those moments, you have something to stand on. You know what God's brought you through. Amen. So when the next mountain's in your life and you're like, oh my goodness, you can look back and say, oh my goodness, God, you're so good. You brought me through this. This is nothing. This is just a little hill compared to what I just went through. But the only way we stay connected and remember those things is if we continue to draw near to the Father. Thank you, Jesus. James 2, verse 23 says, and the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. He was called God's friend. You know, one of the, speaking of just being connected to the Father, you know, I'm so in those moments. And you ever hit a dry patch? Anybody else? Just be honest. I've hit a dry patch before, and you're continued to be connected to God, but you know what? There's times where, thank God, it's not, my relationship with God isn't based on my feelings, right? Like, it's not based on my feelings, because there's those times, and I love those moments where you get those goosebump moments and you feel God and His presence is here, and that's amazing. But just because I don't feel God doesn't mean He's not here, all right? Just because I don't feel God in that moment, or I don't have the goosebump moment, doesn't mean that God isn't for me. He's in my life, and I thank God for that. And to think about when Jesus was on the cross, and Jesus said, God, why have you forsaken me? And I hear a question like that, and it reminds me that, you know what, Jesus was connected to the Father, and even though he may not have felt God in that moment, he still trusted God because he knew the character of his dad. He knew that he was for him, and he knew that there was a purpose. So, and this is something else with that question. God's not afraid of your questions. God's not afraid of my questions. God's not afraid of my doubt. God's not afraid of anything that I'm going through. God's not afraid of my circumstances. Right? My God is bigger than everything that I'm going through. Amen? And we can cling to God in those moments. Come on, somebody needs to hear that. God is not afraid of your questions. He's not going to run from your questions. Thank you, Jesus. So how do we go, using that analogy, from being a Facebook friend with God to being a true friend of God? Number one, we need to seek God's face, not just His hands. Seek God's face, not just His hands. In Psalm 119, verse 58, says, I have sought your face with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your promise. Further down in that same chapter, Verse 135 says, make your face shine on your servant and teach me your decrees. His face. So when you seek a person's hand, you seek what they can do for you, right? You seek a person's face, you're seeking relationship. Like, I want to spend time with you. And the same thing goes with God, right? When we are we seeking the hand of God, or are we seeking relationship? And how do I know that? So a beggar of God, you know, is not necessarily a true friend of God, but a lover of God is building relationship, right? So how do we know which one I am? I always listen to my prayer life. How am I praying? Is it always, God, I need this. God, I need that. God, I need you to come through in this area. God, I haven't spoke to you in 2 weeks, but now I need this. Is my prayer life always about what I need? And don't get me wrong, God's going to show up in your moment of need. Those prayers are absolutely vital. But at the same time, that shouldn't be the only time that I'm going to the Lord. It's a day-to-day walk with the Lord. Every day I'm walking this thing out. God's not my personal genie. It's a relationship. Amen? Are we seeking his hand or seeking his face? Number two, seek God with an attitude of yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Are you willing? Are we willing? Yes, Lord. In any situation, I trust you above all things, no matter what I'm going through. He's calling you to this. Yes, Lord. I might be scared. I don't understand it. I don't understand them. But yes, Lord, I'm stepping into it because I know you've called me to it. Just being open and obedient. Until we let go of what's in our hands, God can't fill them with anything better. Right? Until we let go with what's in our hands right now, God can't fill it with anything better. We always want to cling to what we have now. Well, God, this is so good. Well, his plans for us are way better than our own plans. 1 Samuel 15, verse 22 says, but Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Come on, obedience hurts less than sacrifice. It doesn't hurt as much when you just surrender everything to God and say, God, I'm going to be obedient to your word. I'm going to be obedient to the call of my life, and I'm not running from these things, and I'm not grumbling and complaining. Oh, God, I got to do this again. Like, no, I'm open to receive what you're doing through me, God. I want to be obedient. Amen? Isaiah 1, verse 19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you will eat the good things of the land. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Guys, if we don't know God's character as a loving father, we may hear a scripture like that and start to be a little bit afraid of something like that. Be afraid of that type of commitment. Right? Like, we have to know the character of God. And again, the only way we know the character of God is we have a true relationship. We are drawing near to the Father. I'm going to share the story one more time because I love the analogy. So there's a dad and a six-year-old boy that's on, the dad wanted to surprise the six-year-old with something special. So it's a four-hour trip. It's a four-hour journey. So he gets his son up early in the morning, and they take off, and his son's asleep. Well, halfway through the trip, they stop at McDonald's for breakfast. All right, so they go inside to eat, and inside that McDonald's happened to have the playpen area that's attached to it, you know, where they have a couple slides and stuff. So, of course, the six-year-old wants to go and play on the, and dad's probably looking at his watch like, oh, we still got 2 hours left. But he let him spend 15, 20 minutes in the play area. But then it was time to go. They needed to hit the road again, right? And of course, when you try to pull that six-year-old out of the McDonald's playpen with the slides, he's crying, throwing a fit. Like, I can't believe you're taking me out of this goodness that's the McDonald's playpen, right? Oh, my goodness. So he ends up crying himself to sleep inside once they get back into the car and sleeps the rest of the way. And then they pull up to their destination, get out of the car, pulls the son out of the car, and his son looks up to where they're at. And where are they? Disney World. Disney World. And in that moment, that six-year-old was not thinking about no McDonald's slide, right? They were. He was thinking about, oh my goodness, where did my dad just take me to? This is so much better. And the same thing goes for our own lives. So often, we're clinging to the McDonald's slide, so to speak, right? Because we think that's better for our lives when God's saying, I have so many better things planned for you. You just need to trust me in that moment, and I promise you I'm going to pull you through. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Number three, as you seek the Lord, let go of the skepticism. Let go of the skepticism. This is a big one with young people. I'm just being honest. Like, we have to let go of the skepticism. We'll never be a true friend of God as long as we keep the what's wrong with this attitude. What's wrong with this? We walk in and we see, well, is God really moving? Is God really for me? Man, I just need to surrender that type of thinking. I know what his word says. I know that he's for me. We can't be so skeptical. You'll never be as close to God when we continue to contemplate these things. You may have outsiders in on your life speaking negative things into your life. Like, you go to that church? Oh, you're at church on Sunday and a life group during the week? Oh, you're that type of Christian? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. I love God and I want to be in God's presence all the time. All right? Like, you allow those thoughts into your head. Like, no, I want God, but I want God on my terms. Right? I want to love God, but I want to love God the way I want to love God. And it's like, no, we got to surrender this. It's a full surrender to the Lord. You know, if I read my Bible tonight, I'm not going to be able to study. I'm not going to get that test done. If I read my Bible tonight and pray, I'm not going to be able to watch those two new episodes on Netflix that I really want to watch. All right? Come on, somebody. That's real. All right? Like, but what are we willing to be obedient? Amen? Like, and saying, you know what? This is what's going to feed my spirit, not Netflix, right? If I dive all in, one of the things I hear a lot is like, I just don't want to be looked at as a weirdo, right? Like newsflash, everybody already thinks you're a weirdo. Like, you are a weirdo. Like, your coworkers think you're a weirdo. If they know you love God, they're already thinking you're a weirdo. So just embrace it. I'm a weirdo. Yes, I am. All right, I'm a weirdo. But we're skeptical in so many different areas, right? I don't know. Well, if I put God first in my finances, young people, that you may be living paycheck to paycheck at this point or wherever, you're like, you know what? If I put God first in my finances, I'm not even going to have gas money. And I said it many times, but you know what? You might not have gas money, but you're going to have blessed money. Amen? And yes, what God is, you're going to have gas money too. All right? God's going to always be able to bring you through whatever you're going through. You know, I want to put God first, but I don't know if I have enough time for that. You know what? I don't know if you're going to have more time, but you're going to have blessed time. With the time that you have, the Lord's going to be working through it, and you're going to put him at the center of everything. My marriage, right? If I put God at the center of my marriage, that's not saying that we're not ever going to have an argument, all right? Like, I wish, like, but no, we may have arguments, but my marriage is going to be blessed because I put God at the center of my marriage, all right? In every area, if we adopt that mindset, like, I put God at the center of everything, and we put down the skepticism and start trusting the Lord more. And how do we trust God more? We draw near to him, draw near to God. He'll draw near to us. Jeremiah 29, verse 13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. You'll seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9 says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. Give God your whole heart and draw near to him. He wants your heart. He wants our hearts. All right, last demonstration. Anybody like visuals? I'm a visual person, so I love visuals. So, yeah, get that. Who wants to help me out? Yes, come on. All right, so you're going to grab this end, all right? And we have enough tape for the last service here. All right, so this is going to represent, this blue tape represents our lifespan, okay? the time we spend on this earth right here. All right, so let me take this. We're going to put it right on the second step, right there. All right, on the edge. Okay, awesome. All right, now you're going to walk life's journey with a full cup. Wait, don't spill it. Your cup's full. Anybody have a full cup? Full plate. Sometimes you feel like, you know what, I got a lot going on in my life, right? And sometimes, oh, don't spill it. No, I'm kidding. It's okay. It's all right, because that's what happened. That's reality. That's life. It gets a little messy sometimes. Sometimes our cup gets bumped, and we don't necessarily like what comes out, right? So you're on this road, and you got to walk on the blue. All right. So, and then every once in a while, your cup gets bumped. Oh, and you keep going, and sometimes it bumps big time. Oh, but every time that it gets bumped, all right, give her a great big hand. She's amazing. Sometimes it gets a little messy, right? And sometimes when your cup gets bumped, you don't necessarily like what comes out. You don't like what you see. So sometimes we'll want to suppress that. And in those moments, we need to release that to God. Like it's like, okay, this came out, this was ugly, I need to release this to God. Sometimes when our cups get bumped, we need to release it to God. You may be disappointed, embarrassed, angry, sad. Sometimes your cup gets bumped and you end up at a point and you're like, oh, I didn't respond that bad. Praise God. I've grown in that area. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't respond the way that I used to. So number four, seek the Lord with an honest heart when you're bumped. Seek the Lord with an honest heart when you're bumped. Come on. If we really want to be true friends of God, we'll stop making excuses about who or what just bumped me. Right? Like surrendering that, you know, when something arises that you know isn't from God, to surrender that instead of suppressing it. Because life happens. Life happens. Allow yourself to be human. Don't fake it in front of God. God knows. God knows exactly what you're going through. He knows exactly what you're dealing with in his mind. He knew it before you were going through it. All right? He knows exactly what you're going through. So you don't have to fake it in front of God. That's good news to me. Again, he's not afraid of my question. He's not afraid of the ugliness that comes out sometimes. And I just need to surrender that to him. When we hide it and suppress it from other people, we wear our church clothes and come in and think everything's good, and we don't ever surrender these things to the Lord. We act like we got to have it all together. No. Like God wants you to surrender those things. I don't need to carry those things anymore. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? This is me being very candid. When my mom passed, the best way I can explain it is I felt like that little kid that ran into my father's arms and picked me up, and I was so mad, didn't understand. I'm like wailing. Like you ever see that kid in Walmart and the dad's dragging him out and you're like, what? They need to parent better. No, I'm kidding. but no, really, like I was just wrapped up in my dad's arms and I was kicking and screaming and until finally I just went limp, right? And I said, okay, God, I know your form. And that's the amazing thing about God. When I was frustrated and I had questions and I had doubt, God didn't run from me. He embraced me. He was there in every moment, everything that I was going through. He wasn't like, oh, I can't believe you're doubting. I'm just leaving you. No, like he was right there every step of the way. He never left me. Even in the moments where I didn't feel him, he was right there. He was there through it all. We have to cling to God in those moments. Man, and in those weak moments, I surrounded myself with people that knew the character of God, that could speak into my life, that I could walk into Pastor Greg's office and say, I'm not having a great day. And he wasn't judging me for it. He was there to pray with me. And to have those type of people in your life that you can open up to, and they're going to encourage you. Pastor Bill, who I know is going to be watching as well, I love you. Pastor Bill Prankard, when he comes down, we meet at Skillet's every Friday. We have pancakes and French toast, and we just talk about the Lord and what God's doing. Well, he lost his mom in a similar situation years and years back. And he was able to speak into my life He would talk about how he was a healing evangelist in Canada, where he would go around and lay hands on people and see them healed. And he would go into the hospital and lay hands on his mom, and she still ended up passing. And in those moments where, you know what, there's doubt comes in, but you trust in God. You trust in God because you know that he works everything for his goodness, for our good. Thank you, Jesus. And I can cling to those moments and trust God in that. Be willing to get real with God when your cup gets bumped. Because your cup will be bumped. Matthew 5, verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will seek God." Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Psalm 66, verses 18 and 19 says, "If I have cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer." 1 Peter 3, verses 3 and 4 say, "Your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as elaborate hairstyles and wearing of gold jewelry or fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight." Talking about the inner heart that we keep hidden from people. But God knows. God knows your circumstances. God knows what you're going through. And he's bigger than all of that. Amen? I'm going to close with the scripture, Miss Gail. Psalm 19, verse 12 says, "But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults." So many times we suppress these things, and we just need to give them to the Lord. We don't need to carry them and draw near to God. We have to get real. You know, when Jesus looks into our hearts, does he see that our spiritual light is growing dim? Or are we on fire for God? Am I where I once was? Am I taking steps forward with my walk with God? You know, I'm grateful to be in a godly marriage where I know, like, like my wife, the amount of, and it's not a show, behind the scenes, the prayer that goes in, the connection that I know that she has with the Father, the connection we rent a room with Johnny. Johnny's the worship leader for our young adult ministry. He's seeking God's face every day. I'm surrounded by people that love the Lord, that want to go deeper with God. We got to get there. Come on, everybody, stand with me. Thank you, Jesus. It doesn't matter how talented you are, your giftings, how good of a student you may be, how good of a parent or a grandparent you are. Yes, all of those things matter, but none of those things matter as much as your relationship with God. That's got to be at the center. Thank you, Jesus. He wants to be our Heavenly Father. He wants to be our best friend. I want everyone to just go ahead and close your eyes in this minute, just for a couple minutes here. Holy Spirit, I ask right now that you continue just to do a work on each and every one of our hearts. God, as we just reflect on our relationship with you, if we find ourselves in that place where we say, you know what, God, to be a true friend of yours, to grow my relationship deeper with you, as I look back, you know what, I realize that, yeah, there are moments where I see that I've just used you as a personal genie, where God, I need to seek your face, not just your hands. But God, I want my relationship with you to go deeper than that. No, I'm not just running to you in my moment of need, but God, I'm developing my relationship with you every single day. I'm going deeper with you. You may find yourself in a place where you say, you know what, to go deeper with the Lord, I just need to seek God with an attitude of yes, Lord, where I know he's called me to something, but I've been so reluctant, I've just been afraid. God would say to you this morning, Do you trust me enough to surrender that area, to know that my plans are better for you than anything that you could possibly do yourself? To surrender that to the Lord this morning. Maybe you find yourself in a place where, if you were honest, you say, yeah, I'm pretty skeptical. If I was honest, you know what? A lot of things, I've been a skeptic. I doubt, you know, I question some things. I question God a lot of times. God's saying, trust me enough to release that to me this morning. And let him build your faith. Let him build your faith. And the last thing, maybe you're in a place where you feel like you're down this road of life, and you know that your cup's been bumped along the way, and there has been some ugliness that's came out. And the Lord would say to us this morning, let's surrender that to him. That we don't have to carry those things anymore. That God can be at the center of our lives this morning. Thank you, Jesus. If I could have the altar team just come up right now. We're going to pray together this morning. Look, this is a safe place where we can be honest. Look, it doesn't matter. Everybody, every eye closed in this place. It doesn't matter who's next to you, who's around you. This is about you and your relationship with God. That is the most important thing. And if you were honest with yourself this morning, you say, you know what? I need to go deeper with God. One of these things hit home. Holy Spirit, that you're working on each and every one of our hearts. On the count of three, just to be bold and to get out of your seat and come down and just receive from the Father. Let God's love just pour out on you. We have people here to pray with you this morning. We're going to worship together for a few minutes here. But if you would be bold in this moment, 1, 2, 3, to not think about it, get out of your seat right now and say, you know what, I just need prayer in that area to come and receive from the Father right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let's worship together, guys. Come on, be bold in this moment. You know you need to take your relationship with God to that next level. Thank you, Lord.